welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Turn the Page, Syosset Library's podcast. This is Jessica, and this is the second part to our Father's Day special. Sometimes interviews come up, and they are just so well themed to a certain time of year or a holiday that we decide, you know what, we're going to put out some extra episodes because they coincide so well. So I'm going to ask our guest to introduce herself and talk a little bit about her book.
My name is Kimberly Wolf. I am an educator, speaker, educational consultant, and the author of Talk With Her, A Dad's Essential Guide to Raising Healthy, Confident, and Capable Daughters. For many years, I've been a health and wellness educator in schools, teaching kids, mostly from middle school years up, and their parents about both how to learn about critical health and wellness topics that have to do with mental health, physical health, sexual health, love and relationships, social media, even on to career preparedness and some college admissions advising. And I've also taught parents all of these years. I have an undergraduate degree from Brown in gender studies and a master's in human development and psychology from the Harvard Graduate School of Education. And in both of those places, I studied the intersection between adolescent wellness and media. What makes health interesting and fun to young people, and how can we get them critical messages? And I never expected to write a book for dads. That was not my focus. I was really deep in working with adolescents and then kind of working with parents as I was teaching along, you know, in my career, and schools would ask me to do parent presentations. And then something happened in recent years where a lot of fathers started asking me for advice about their teenage daughters. And a daughter myself of a father with whom I am very close and someone with deep knowledge in the fields of adolescent female wellness and psychology and human development, this was a knowledge base that I realized I could share with men. And so that is where Talk With Her came from.
So I love that you got to this point. I think, first of all, a little bit before we started recording, we just started talking about just like how men are socialized. I know you have two boys and I have two boys. Growing up, my dad, and I love my dad very much, but he was very hands-off. You know, work was what he did. And when he came home, he was tired. And there's so much just chatter about, oh, teenage girls are so scary. Teenage girls are drama. Teenage girls are the worst. Mm-hmm. You know, wait till she becomes a teenager. She's not going to love you so much. And I feel like it's really reductive and really harmful to the parent, the father, and the daughter as well. You know, you're bracing yourself for something, and it's really hard to be a teenager. I mean, that much I remember, even though I am not there for a while. I have not been there for a while. So what are some of the things you cover in this book?
Well, I'll start by saying in response that myth surrounding teenagers and father-daughter relationships and the roles of men really has dictated a lot of family dynamics for millennia. When we talk about teenagers as being really difficult, not the little girl that you used to have, just wait till she's a teenager, all of that starts from the moment that people find out they're having daughters. And frankly, that's a lot to live up to, right? And teenagers aren't, that message isn't lost on girls as they grow up. There's so many cultural references to it in movies, TV, and books. There's t-shirts that they see that talk about being the fathers of daughters. One of them, which I don't recommend, says something along the lines of, I have a daughter, I also have an alibi, something like that. And So we want to stay away from this idea that teenagers are so difficult and teenage girls specifically are just scary and complicated and impossible to wrangle. A lot of those beliefs that people have about teenagers, they're not rooted in imagination. They're true. A lot of what we hear about teenagers kind of becoming more distant, individuating, moving away from parental structures, that's really healthy and normal. And what we want to be doing for young women is supporting them along the way, meeting them where they are, not being condescending, not being reductive about their experience, and really talking them through their challenges and their interests and their curiosities at a time in their life when we really have an opportunity to start creating some lifelong habits that will really serve them. When it comes to fathers and their daughters, this is what we were talking about right before we started recording, is a lot of this myth also includes this idea of this bumbling, scared, aggressive father who has no idea what he's doing. And actually, one of the things that I found most profound in my research is that a lot of the men that I spoke with didn't realize how much they were doing right. And they didn't realize how much of their experience of feeling alone, left out of the brain trust, feeling like they weren't doing anything right with their daughters was actually really common in my book, which I'll talk about a little bit later, is actually a really good sign. If you're feeling shut down by your daughter, if she's rolling her eyes at you, if she's saying that you don't know anything, it's probably a good sign, because teenagers aren't going to give you a ton of positive feedback. And that means that your interface, talking about the things that are important, spending time with her, you're going to get some of that negative feedback. Talk with her is about the roles of fathers, as I've discussed already, but it's also about preparing fathers and all parents, anybody who sees themselves as a father figure, but even mothers will find this book relevant in many ways. How do we connect with our girls? How do we talk with them in a way that gets the messages across, even when we don't feel like it is? What are some of the communication strategies that matter most in terms of building bonds that will last through the lifespan? And then also I include 19 briefs on key topics, social media, mental health, body positivity, college admissions, even career, to help prepare parents for some of these conversations that can seem really overwhelming or very high stakes. And this book gives people a baseline so that they can move forward with confidence.
I'm happy to see some of the things in here, especially you talk about social media, and I always say that I am so glad that it did not exist when I was a teenager. I am of the generation where in the very beginning of college, very end of high school, we still had to fight for our dial-up connection, mm-hmm. for AOL, which only awarded you certain amount of hours to be on AOL before they charged. But absolutely. Now, yeah, it's literally at your fingertips. The internet, social media was really not a thing. You had like an AOL profile, and that was about as close as we got. And we've been through so many different iterations of social media platforms, you know, from like MySpace to, you know, Facebook's been around for a while, but I've heard that only grandmas really use Facebook now, and moms. Mm-hmm. And there's all of these just, micro blogging platforms where you can pretty much share your life with anybody, and instantaneously, and you're sharing pictures. And it, to me, it's crazy, because I can imagine that that's stress. Do you deal with a lot of parents who did not have that? Obviously, I mean, you would really have to be a very young parent to have had that even remotely in your own childhood.
I haven't met a parent yet. This is just me. I have not met a parent yet who is comfortable with social media, who says, I got this, my kids are fine. This doesn't
particularly dads.
Everybody though. And most people working with young people and seeing the impact it has. I had somebody, an interviewer, asked me recently, are we overparenting? You know, are we overthinking some of the challenges that we think our kids are having? And are we reading too many books? Are we calling on too many experts and not kind of trusting ourselves the way our parents did. You know, the answer, especially when it comes to social media, is absolutely not, because this is a brand new playing field. Now, some of the dynamics are the same. Social drama, it's a different playing field, but we see a lot of the same types of things play out. However, we're also seeing a lot of extended dynamics and a lot of other problem areas. For instance, the impact of social media on girls' body image, the access that young people have to porn and how that is kind of seeping into young people's romantic relationship ideals. And also just the basics of kids not being able to take a break from the social worlds that they're part of. For our parents' generation, things were going on at school. You could get home, at least have a few hours. I always say, you know, people wanted to call my house and continue things, they would have had to go through my big brother answering the phone, maybe talking to my mother. You knew the phone was probably in a relatively public place.
I've been seeing a meme lately about, you know, like, your kids don't understand that in order to talk to your friends, you still had to talk to their parents first.
Yes, we had gatekeepers, which we don't have now for the most part. So, go ahead.
No, I wanted to continue what you were saying.
So that was basically the crux of it. You know, we are seeing major impacts of social media and digital media use in general, just because kids have so much access to it. It's so easy to multitask. They're listening to music, doing their homework, streaming something on FaceTime with their friends or any combination thereof. And, you know, another thing that came up, I was a school counselor for a time, and I used to have parents call me in my office and say, Miss So-and-so is giving so much homework. This is just way too much homework for my middle schooler. It's taking them far too long to do this homework. And I would ask a few questions. And what would happen is, what we know from the research is that kids are multitasking. It's taking them a lot longer to do their homework because they're not focusing, and or they are doing homework on group chats, which sometimes can be really beneficial. Obviously, doing homework in groups can be really helpful. But what young people are also doing is just getting on video, doing homework, kind of trading answers back and forth, not realizing kind of the academic integrity issues with this that we could all bring up, but just saying, oh, okay, we got it. And not really thinking through the issues at hand, not thinking through their own answers very deeply. And so they're losing a learning opportunity. So when they are not in a place where they're on a group chat or doing homework as a group, then it can take them longer to do it as well.
One of the chapters in your book is called The Talk is Dead. Can you elaborate? Because when I see The Talk, there is a very specific talk that I'm thinking of.
Right. So when we think of The Talk, we think of the talk about sex, the birds and the bees. And that's often kind of traditionally how parents have seen checking that box, right? Well, we talked about it. And we talked about it once and it's fine. Or we talked about drugs and alcohol once, it's fine. They know how I feel. I'm done. I'm going to just get out of that awkward box. I'm out of there. But what we know is, and what I've seen in the research in my own practice, is that talking with kids over time about the same topics, repetition on critical topics, is extremely important. It is important to repeat how you feel about certain behaviors. For instance, right now, fentanyl-laced drugs is a huge, scary issue. And it's not enough to address that once. Parents need to say, it's not enough anymore to just say, don't do drugs. There's a lot more that goes into it now. It's extremely dangerous, far more dangerous than it ever has been in the past, arguably. And you want to talk to kids about topics like that over time. Check in with them. Talk about, oh, I saw this article. Have you heard about any of this happening? Obviously, some of these topics are more age appropriate than others. Parents listening from different communities might find different community norms or things happening in their community that might be more or less relevant. So you need to take your own personal approach here. But you want to talk to kids over time. Can't just have one talk. Repetition makes it so that kids know, repetition signals to kids that you are serious. They know your values, even if they don't follow your values in their adolescent years, which they may not. I say in the book that they may not seem like they're listening to you, but they can hear you. And that's what matters the most. And you want to keep having these conversations however you can. They can look different ways. There's certain conversations, for instance, to talk about sexuality and sex that can be extremely awkward for all parents. Men don't always know how they can jump in on that conversation with their girls. You don't have to necessarily hit every topic. You can split it up with a female caregiver, another mother figure in their lives, their mother or somebody else. And you can break up different topics so that each of you are talking about different aspects of a certain theme.
Yeah, I was thinking in particular, if a father, a single father having that talk with their daughter, mm-hmm. probably feels like navigating some sort of minefield, mm-hmm. Because you have to, and this seems to be an issue, not just with fathers, with mothers, but with fathers too. And maybe this is a cultural thing. Like, this has to acknowledge the fact that yes, at some point your daughter is probably going to have sex.
Right. Among other things, that is one of the themes that makes people very uncomfortable. What we know is you have to do things that are uncomfortable, right? You have to feel the fear and do it anyway, as the old saying goes. And what we have to remember, and what I encourage people to remember, is that the more information that we give young people, the better their decisions are. You're not going to encourage any behaviors by talking about safe sex, or that's really the main one. Or in the case of mental health also, if you're talking about very serious topics like suicidal ideation, you're not going to encourage students to have, young people to have other thoughts by talking about it. You need to understand where kids are at. When it comes to the sex talks, that's actually a big area where men have more of an opportunity to talk than most of them realize. And it is really important, because for girls who will find themselves in relationships with men, with males, or anyone of any gender, but especially with men, if they're talking with their fathers, it just gives girls a baseline comfort level having conversations with people of different genders about bodies and body parts. And you don't necessarily have to go through all the anatomy as a father, but you can talk about reciprocity. You can talk about caring. You can talk about boundary setting and how relationships should feel. And I always say on this topic too, it's a little bit of a departure from what we're talking about, but another thing that makes people very uncomfortable about this conversation is because they don't necessarily feel confident in their own relationship skills. They don't feel like they've had the perfect relationship. They may not be in the perfect marriage. They may be divorced. They may have never been married to the child's mother. But all of that comes with a lot of wisdom, and kids don't need you to be perfect. They need you to be present. This isn't to say that you need to have all of the answers all the time, or that you should share everything you know, because as I mentioned a few minutes ago, we want to talk about any topic that we address in age-appropriate ways, and people have an idea of what's best for their kids, and other people in their community and their family, school counselors can kind of advise what, you know, what are the things that my kids and their peers are thinking about? What do I need to talk about? So there's so much I could say about communicating, but that is why there's a chapter called The Talk is Dead. We want to keep repeating ourselves. We want to discuss all of the big topics in depth so that we're not only giving our kids information, but also showing them that we're ready to have a conversation whenever they are ready to come talking to us.
What are just some other things that people can expect if they're going to pick this book up? And why should a father seek this out?
I think that unofficially, this is just a guide for girlhood, guide to girlhood for dads, you know, welcome to girl world. There are very specific things about girls' experience that fathers have not experienced by nature of them not being young women themselves. And this book offers a lot of insight. And I think that when people come to this book, first and foremost, I think they're going to feel better about what they've already been doing. I think they're going to find a lot of accessible strategies for how they can do better and get more of the messages across, strengthen those bonds with their girls. There's a lot of go-to strategies in here, to use that word again. Obviously, I like it. Talking about what are the little and big activities fathers can do with their girls to build relationship and create opportunities for connection and conversation. One father I talked to, I absolutely loved this. He was up in Chicago. He talks about how he went running with his teenage daughter and they had a no headphones rule. That was their thing. Another father journaled with his daughter. My father used to take me to sporting events, particularly Laker games on weeknights. And he used to meet me for late dinners after my theater practices. And all of those strategies should serve as inspiration. There's so many different ways that people can relate to their girls. And in our fast-paced world, sometimes we forget to slow down and find time and see the time that we already have to do that. And then parents coming to this book will also find a lot of guidance on key hot button topics and the questions and the resources that they need, the questions they need to ask and the resources they need to seek out to support their individual daughters.
So really quickly, just because we sort of touched upon it before we started recording, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I have two boys, you have two boys, and I feel like just sort of watching the way, for instance, my brother was socialized versus the way that I'm kind of sort of just following my boy's lead instead of, you know, really trying to steer them one way or the other. There's just a lot of sweetness in young boyhood. And while I know that the book is an introduction to fathers for girlhood, I think that these fathers are coming likely from a world where they were socialized with sort of a different view of masculinity and some, you know, a real focus on machismo, like that shirt you mentioned before. Mm-hmm. You mentioned you touch upon that a little bit in the book.
Absolutely. And I think that the traditional views that we have of fathers of being sort of, and you know, for better, for worse, mostly that they're sort of bumbling and they're not the primary parent. Those ideals still kind of continue to dominate cultural expectations and views of fathers. But, and I think it's to detriment, especially when it comes to girls. Like I said earlier, so many men don't realize how much they're already doing right. And a lot of what is happen, what can happen between fathers and daughters in terms of communication can seem pretty counterintuitive at first, because fathers in many ways are not often invited into these important conversations with girls. And we're all moving so fast. And if there are female caregivers around, sometimes we're like, we got it. I know why she's changing her clothes 5 times. Don't worry about it. I'll tell you about it later. And it's really hard to draw people in some of these hectic moments with teenage girls and say, hey, I know that you probably didn't have this experience. I can tell you what's going on with her right now. We just don't have time all the time to let each other in on that. And so I think what I always want people to remember is that even though it may seem like there's a topic that fathers shouldn't or can't address, the vast majority of the time, it is a great opportunity for fathers to get in there, have a conversation and build those bonds. And I say that as a researcher, I say that as a scholar. I also say that as a daughter whose dad was pretty fearless. And we have a really, really strong relationship into adulthood that I know will continue.
Thank you so much. So once again, this was Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast. Our guest today was
Kimberly Wolf, author of Talk With Her, A Dad's Essential Guide to Raising Healthy, Confident, and Capable Daughters.
And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there celebrating.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.